on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. It's time for the only area radio show devoted exclusively to football. That is to say, soccer.
Local, MLS, Premier League, and international.
It's Blokes on the Bench, and you can reach us at 434-284-9470 or at facebook.com/blokesonthebench. Now here's your host, Andy Richardson.
Charlottesville.
Hope everyone had a happy new year. First show of 2010. We've gone back a bit there. 2018. So, did anyone get any soccer gear for Christmas, by the way?
I'm wearing mine. I got a nice hoodie from the grandmother and her mother-in-law, and a nice hat. I'm happy.
What about you? Any?
Yeah, I got a White Hart Lane sign. You
awesome.
Know, looking good, yeah.
I ordered early. Fanatics was doing a sale a while back, so
you get the Ozil T-shirt. I mean,
you might be.
No, you know what? I know somebody in my family that we got a Mkhitaryan shirt like 3 weeks ago.
Yikes!
That's not going to last long. but I actually got the retro class of '92 kind of blue Man United coat. All right, so we've got way too many results to get through. We're going to scramble just because we had what 4 or 5 weeks of games. So I think what we should do is just run through the table, kind of give a diagnostic on each team, how we see them going from now on. So let's start at the top of the table, obviously, sitting still pretty far out in front. It's, of course, Manchester City.
Yeah, City's still sitting on top of the table. 15 points clear, the last I checked, which has been a while. There's been so much that's happened. Things look good. Everybody's relatively healthy. I think without any injury issues, City should do well the rest of the year and hopefully win the league. I mean, it's easy to say when you're 15 points up that you hopefully win the league. Bigger fish in England or in Europe to fry, obviously, in Champions League. And we're still fighting on the FA Cup front and are playing in the League Cup in the semifinals this week with Bristol City in a two-leg tie. So things are great. It's great to be a City fan right now, and the future looks bright, even as the present is really bright.
So you guys had some injury concerns because De Bruyne went out. Jesus is out for a bit, right?
Jesus is out for a month or two. De Bruyne, after taking that horror tackle against Crystal Palace, proved to be okay, which is shocking. I mean, he's the Terminator, which is what a friend of mine said. He took out two players, essentially, that tried to take him out on that play. And, other than that, David Silva continues to have his personal issue with his pre-born son. I'm probably saying that wrong, but his wife gave birth.
Thoughts and prayers to his family.
Yeah, a premature child, which I'm just, the fact he can come in and play a match and put a 10 out of 10 and be man of the match and deal with what he's dealing with at home, it just goes to show our little Merlin is so important to the club and what he's done for us. But other than that, people are coming back. John Stones just came back. Vincent Kompany will come in and out as his health goes back and forth. And I can't think of any other injury issues. Obviously, there's some talk about Alexis Sanchez coming to City to fill in for Jesus. So it's either $25 million now or free in the summertime. We'll see how that plays out. But, yeah, things are great. I can't complain.
I mean, to be fair, Arsenal, it just makes sense. If they want to get anything from Ozil and I'm not sure about Ozil, but certainly from Sanchez. He's on the way out.
Ozil seems more open to staying than Sanchez. Sanchez wants to go, and he's been busting up the locker room, so please sell him.
But how long before Ozil has another drop in form? Because he's just up and down like a yo-yo, and you guys are going, well, yeah, we do want to get rid of him. I mean, how do you feel as an Arsenal fan about Ozil?
I say sell him, too. Sell them both.
But are there any takers? I mean, I guess that's the thing at this point.
The rumor will about United. And
I mean, United, yeah. But I mean, I think that the concern, I think, for anyone that wants to take on Ozil is the salary demands. Who's going to be asking for $300,000 a week? Huge money. It's up there with the likes of Ronaldo's and Messi's. And I mean, he's not even like
he's
top
25
in the world in terms of best players.
You don't think so?
I don't think so at this point. I think that if he on his day when he's playing his game, yeah, he can be up there. But
I think if he has a babysitter, he's one of the best players in the world at his position, 100%.
Yeah, but at his position, you start to qualify it. Then you're, you know, all of a sudden.
I think if Ozil played for Man City, he would be a much better player.
I think Ozil is one of the best players in the world. I don't know that his wages are worth what he is because he's...
No, I agree with you on that.
He's only a one-way player. He's never going to defend, so you know that. So he needs to go to a squad that's going to protect him.
Have a babysitter, yeah.
Have a babysitter. It's sort of the same with Alexis Sanchez. He's such a one-way player and is very petulant when things don't go his way, which is where I think maybe he doesn't go to City ultimately. I could see him going to a club like a PSG or...
Juventus, maybe?
Yeah, something like that.
There has been talk about a PSG transfer, and if Draxler's on our side of that, I am totally into that deal.
Don't see Draxler 100%. Leaving. I don't see Draxler leaving.
Well, if Sanchez comes in, then Draxler's going to go. Because they play on the same wing.
Not necessarily. I mean, like, Di Maria's still there, for instance. He'd probably be more likely to go than... Anyway, but I mean, like, talking about City here, I mean, I think the thing that's most impressive to me looking at the table is they've only dropped points twice. They haven't lost. They've only drawn twice. The consistency, I don't think we've seen anything like since Arsenal.
That's the point I wanted to bring up.
Whatever year it was.
03, 04, the Invincibles, the 49ers. I mean, this is a real conversation we should all be having right now. Are they going to go the entire length undefeated?
There are no City supporters having that conversation. The rest of the media world and other football supporters may. I will say that we didn't see the Invincibles the way that we're seeing this City team play because media coverage just wasn't there worldwide.
Same, yeah.
So we're getting to see the greatest show on earth every week, regardless of the competition, and... The real measure is going to come in the second half. Can they? I don't really care that they stay undefeated. It doesn't mean anything to me. Can they win the league? How far can they get in the Champions League? Can they win this League Cup? And can they win the FA Cup? This Burnley match that just happened on Saturday, I thought was a real test of what City are all about. They go down 1-0 at the Etihad, which no one scores on them there, at least not in the first half. And City come out in about the 50th minute. Flip a switch and play football in a way. I mean, my phone was blowing up from people I know saying, this is like an arcade game the way that they play. Back heels, guys just running forward, 6-7 players running forward at a time. It's beautiful to watch. For the neutral, it must be great. It must be hard for everybody else to watch. For a City fan, no one could have imagined this. No one.
Well, it's kind of crazy. I was talking to some people about this, Shabin earlier, just the coverage level now as compared to. You know, I wasn't even really watching the game in 03 and 04.
Right.
You know, like, it was like every once in a while they'd show a big Premier League game. There was Tommy Smith and your Champions League games, you know, and that
we'd
was pretty much
get,
all.
Usually, I mean, with Fox Soccer Channel, you'd only get maybe 5 games a week.
Exactly.
You'd get United live and have to follow everything else after.
Yeah. Which is basically what happened to me today because, for once, the Spurs game wasn't on TV. I actually had to listen to the radio commentary coming from England over through the Spurs website because it wasn't even available.
That sounds
in TV
pretty archaic.
And it wasn't even on TV in England either.
I love football on the radio. I don't know about you guys, but I miss when it was free on Talk Sport. Now you have to pay Sirius, I guess, who has the paywall up. But radio soccer broadcasts are great. It takes me back to olden days. Listening to FA Cup matches because that was the only way you could listen to them. But yeah, I thought the Burnley match was great, and I didn't get to see much of any other FA Cup match, but I'm sure we want to move on anyway.
All right, so sitting obviously in second spot is Manchester United. And, well, I mean, this is...
How would you rate them so far? Second place?
Okay, so...
I mean, are you pleased with second place?
I'm... Not happy that we're not in the top, but who really realistically who really is happy when they're sitting in second? And I mean, obviously, people that are lower on the table would be, but in terms of if a top five club, you're wanting to be in the top spot.
Well, United finished fifth last year. I don't mean to interrupt. United finished fifth last year outside of the Champions League or in it because they won Europa,
right, we won
which
Europa.
Is great. Being in second right now, I would view as a positive for United,
right.
And as Daniel's talked about multiple times, it's just going on at a time
when
City's
City,
doing what they're doing.
I was just about to say that, and the fact that Mourinho has the project at Manchester United has improved, and like you said, we got off to a very good start, probably our best start. It's just like you said, City are playing on a different planet right now, and it just exasperates that. And like I said, it's hard to take that City are in first. However, it's nice to watch. I mean, it's good football.
And to pull the curtain back a little bit, if people could see our text messages that go back and forth. Andy, with De Gea obviously being the best player at Manchester United, who would be the best outfielder in Manchester United? Who's the best player
right
now?
That's a good question.
I mean, I'm going to have to say it.
Please do.
Messi, Lingard. I mean, you eat your words at times. Everyone in this room has eaten their words about a player.
Of course.
Jesse Lingard is that player for me. And I was talking to Ryan. We scouted last week, and you know he was saying it says a lot that our best player right now is Jesse Lingard.
But why is that a problem? I mean, he plays well, regardless of his pedigree or the fact that he's not Romelu Lukaku or Paul Pogba. Does it matter who's being good? I'm kind of pulling your guys' legs because this all started with me.
Because it's enjoyable for you.
Apparently, he's pretty good at cheating on his girlfriend too.
Yeah, I mean, you can't.
I heard about that.
I just don't understand why the Manchester United fans seem to like.
Wish I
they almost hate to love him.
Hate to love him.
And,
I just hate.
It took you a while to warm up to him. Let's say
right because I don't
and
think he was
with
proven.
A lot of the other United fans.
Well, he was kind of a fringe player.
Player. He has a lot of potential, but now that he's performing what he's doing, it's something like 7 goals in 9 games, or maybe mm-hmm. it's 8 goals, whatever the number is. It's he's performing at a high level as anyone on the team. Yet there seems to be this hesitancy to even buy into what he's doing. I don't understand that. I feel like most other teams would appreciate what you have. What he's doing is essentially what Harry Kane did a few years ago. And as a Spurs fan, I jumped all over it. I was like, Harry Kane's my man.
Hurricane.
Yet you talk to Manchester United fans, and they're like begrudgingly liking him. I don't understand that.
Well, it's not this is his first season that he's really on fire.
Sure.
So it's not he's not proven yet.
Just like Harry Kane was.
Right.
I'm not saying he's the next Harry Kane, but what I'm saying is, you can see that there's potential there.
Of course.
You appreciate that he's bounced around the league. He had many loan spells. So did Lingard.
Right.
There's actually a lot of parallels here. And I think that we have to respect and say, you know what? This guy has potential to be up there playing.
I think you both make good points. The point I'm going to make is that United don't want
to
hang their hats on a fringe player. They're a big club.
Right.
They want to hang their hat on, hey, we bought Pogba for this amount of money, you know, and he's come good. But
Pogba played actually okay the other night.
I think Pogba
the player that I really do worry about is Lukaku, it has to be said. He has gotten bigger.
This.
He's chunkier. Like he needs to kind of beef down a bit, you know, get on the treadmill rather than doing all that weightlifting. You can tell it's slowing him down.
I mean,
he's about 3 yards off the pace
towards the beginning of the season on the show. Like he's always had an issue in big games, and now he's having an issue in a lot of games.
Well, I think the thing is with United is like every game's a big game. So you don't show up one game and all of a sudden they're going to be on your back.
Well, every game is a big game at the minute because obviously City and, you know.
City has set the bar so high. And at United, the bar is obviously equally as high, if not higher, to win everything. And at United, you should just appreciate what you have. Now, for me, I think the best player on the team is Pogba. I think he's. If you put him in the right position, which for some reason Mourinho has refused to do until only recently, Pogba needs to play higher in the field like he did for Juventus. He needs to have two people behind him, and then he'll just run the final third with his play, with his 1-2s, with his footwork. He can finish himself. Mm-hmm. He can assist. He can do it all. He can play defense. But you don't want your best player playing defense. You want your best player playing further up the chart.
He needs to not be playing number 6. He needs to be your number 10.
But here's the thing about Mourinho likes his players to play defensively.
Well, he wants his players to play in the style that he wants. So there is no creativity. This is what I tell you to do, and you will do it. Now, he ran rampant against Everton, and I watched his interview after the match with the pundits there, and he talked about how Mourinho basically gave him free rein. If he continues to do that, that's great. But that was Everton. And the fact is that people were gushing over his performance of, against Everton because he had two assists. One assist was just a simple pass across the box to a player standing there. I think the whole assist rule is sort of foolish when he gets something out of nothing. The player who scored the goal is the one who did it. I'm not saying players who get assists don't do something, but that was a sort of no big deal assist.
But he made the right pass.
He made the right pass standing in front of the box.
We don't need to debate the merits of whether assists are good or not here. I mean, I think the key is that Pogba is the most important player on United. When he dominated that Arsenal match, you could see that United were a step up. He is that differential player.
Well, wait. United won that match with him sent off.
Well, yeah, but when they were up 3-1 or 2-1.
Was it 80th minute you were sent off?
Yeah, I mean,
he
got sent off late.
I don't think it was that late, but Arsenal dominated that match and had nothing to show for it at the end. I don't know.
That's a lot of Arsenal matches.
I'm just not that impressed with Paul Pogba, and it has nothing to do with the fact that he's a United player. I've said here many times that before he came to United, he was my favorite player in the world. I just don't see the same player, and I don't know if that's because of the expectation coming to United or the fact he's not deployed correctly. And again, maybe they will deploy him freely.
I mean, I think a lot of it is when he was at Juve, who was playing beside him for the most part. AP, Andrea Pirlo.
Well, in front of him, yeah. Or behind him.
Behind
actually.
Him. Yeah. And he also had Vidal, who is a tank. And
super work engine.
But Juventus never lost a beat. So this player who set a transfer record, Juventus still went to the Champions League final.
Right.
And that's they're a big program, and they can move on regardless. They're a Barca, they're a Real Madrid. They just keep going. But you lose possibly the best midfielder on the planet, and you still League final.
Well, I mean, that's like saying that, like, look at what Barcelona's doing without Neymar. So now Neymar's not a very good player?
No, but what are they doing? They're
I wouldn't say that.
Yeah.
No, of course not. I'm just like turning that logic around on you.
No,
I'm
understand.
Not saying that you, but my whole point, I mean, I think the key here is Pogba's a good player. Maybe some people don't put him up in that upper super echelon, and that's fine. But on United, he's the best player, and if he's playing the way he should be and that the amount that they paid for him, that's when they're playing their best. And Lingard, I want Lingard to succeed. I love Lingard. I think he's actually really impressive, and I liked him probably before most of the United fans did.
All right, guys, the time is 20 past 6. We'll be right back. All right, guys, welcome back. All right, don't forget, you're listening to Blokes on the Bench here on 94.7. You can get in contact with us, 434-284-9470. We are running a Twitter poll right now, and it is, should Arsenal sell Ozil in January? And out in 75%, people are saying yes. And we are on Periscope. Through our Twitter page and our Facebook page as well. Yeah, everyone wave.
Giveaway.
We've got faces that are really for the radio.
Oh, yeah. Let me do my hair.
Oh, yeah. Alex wants to do his hair.
No.
And we do have a special announcement coming on the show as well. David Deaton from Aromas Cafe FC will be here. So let's move on. So sitting in third spot. Who is in third?
Chelsea.
Oh, no.
I think when talking, we were just talking about our United. We've got to talk about this feud that Mourinho and Conte are having right now, because it's hilarious. It's been going back and forth about various things. And it started when
one was drinking port and one was drinking Chianti at the same London bar.
Basically, Mourinho said that Conte and others celebrate too much when they score a goal, forgetting who he was in a previous life where he would...
Not that long ago.
I mean...
Well, United don't score that many goals, so he can't really like do it as much.
But when Porto won like the Champions League, he was running down the field. And
I don't mind that. When you win Champions League, you can run to the middle of the field.
And I don't care if you're jumping into the stands like Conte is when they score goals that are winners. You know,
he's a man of the people.
That's the beauty of the game, is there's so much passion. Just let it slide. I don't know why he's getting so negative.
Which manager would you take? Just no debate, no conversation.
Conte, 100%.
Conte. I would take Conte. Conte. Andy, who would you take?
Mo.
Okay.
No bias.
Andy's pretty reasonable when it comes to that. If that's his answer, I buy that. I don't, but I think Conte is a much better tactician and more in touch with reality, but... Mourinho.
I think as a player, ask yourself this question. Who would you rather have as your manager?
Oh, there's no question about that. Absolutely, Conte is the manager you would want to play for. I mean, again, Mourinho almost ruined Eden Hazard. And it's a shame to think that a player of that quality could be affected so much by his manager. But I look at it from players coming to United now. Would you want to put yourself in the hands of a manager
that stifles your creativity?
Look at Luke Shaw. Poor guy, man. He's just getting hated on by him. And I mean, he's coming.
No. Luke Shaw, we have felt sympathy for, and now I've seen it. I've seen it.
Yeah, but do you remember the things he said about him? It's been horrible.
He broke his leg horrifically
about 18 months ago, or maybe a little bit more than that. And then in his first few games back, Mourinho is criticizing him for his lack of fitness.
But he's not the only one that said that. It's not the lack of fitness. It was the lack of commitment to training. And he wasn't the only person that has come out and said that about Luke Shaw.
I think the key here is that 75% of us would prefer to have...
Well, Conte, you guys can all run away with Conte. I'm keeping Mo, all right?
To get back to Chelsea...
Me and Mo.
It's interesting that Mourinho's taken his eye of Sauron off of City because they're too far gone and put it on to Chelsea because that's their direct competition right now. This 2-3, because you don't want to be forced to have that additional round of Champions League qualification, this becomes really important. I think Chelsea will finish above Manchester United. I think they're a better side than Manchester United, and I cannot wait till they play each other, which I think is in about 2 or 3 weeks. We've got another Super Sunday coming up soon, so maybe we need another day out, blokes. But
Let's organize an event.
Who's in fourth?
Liverpool.
Oh.
Now, this brings up a bigger picture about the January transfer window and everything that's going on with Coutinho, because it does seem that the Spanish sides are kind of coming in, swooping around. Hazard's on the list of players that will probably be out in the summer. Is this going to be a problem?
No. They came out and said that.
Is this a problem with the two big Spanish clubs? I mean, in a league that's a pub league to me.
Come on.
It's just two
that's
of them.
La Liga, and you've got is a public.
Atletico Madrid is pretty much outside, like in that top
They've
three.
They went to the Champions League final twice in the last like 4 years.
Who?
Atletico Madrid.
Right, that's what I'm saying. There's Barcelona, Real Madrid, and Atletico, and that's really it.
Valencia, Sevilla.
Yeah, but Valencia Bilbao. Haven't really been. Anyway, listen.
Sevilla won,
listen, that's
won
not
the
what
Europa League, okay. Your favorite championship. As a Manchester United fan, okay. Like 3 years in a row.
We won't talk about that. What I was going to say is it becoming a problem of Spanish clubs moving in for Premier League
poaching?
But I mean, is this a new thing? Right?
No, it's not.
Like,
but
who's the best player in Spain?
I don't think so.
Well, arguably Ronaldo.
I don't think
former United player, right? I mean,
Barcelona will do what Barcelona need to do, and Liverpool are unable to keep their players. Liverpool is a selling club. They lose their talent when the time comes. Apparently, this deal was done back in August, and Liverpool held on tooth and nail to Coutinho. There was a video that Barcelona put out on their social media, basically following Coutinho on all his social media accounts. All the pictures and tweets and whatever were from back in August.
And Nike apparently had...
Right.
They had released? But
Nike.
A week before.
I said Nike, all right?
No, it's Nike.
British.
Let's go with Nike. When that went up on their website...
Adidas. Adidas.
The deal for Coutinho's jersey started on January 6th. And that happened on, I think, January 2nd or 1st. Uh-huh. And people were freaking out. Well, the transfer went in on the 6th. Like, that's when this all this came about. So you're not going to keep Barcelona from taking the players away that you want. But Liverpool, sell their best players.
I still don't get this deal right now.
What do you mean? Is 190?
Here's the thing. So they're pretty much like City. They've pretty much wrapped up the league. I mean, they've got, a 14 or 15-point advantage, I think, in La Liga?
Is it that much?
And Madrid is, way far away. So we're talking about...
Madrid's, fourth. I'm pulling up the numbers
exactly.
Right now.
Okay, so you pull up the numbers as I'm spitting this out.
Barcelona are 9 points ahead of Atletico Madrid. Madrid's in fourth, 16 points back.
Yeah.
With a game in hand, granted, but...
Okay. Yeah, so they're basically still, 13 points back. And I'm pretty sure, right, that it's still the same that with Champions League, you're a registered player.
Yeah.
So, he's cup tied. So what motivation do you have to spend money on a deal you should have done last summer and now you're doing in January, like
why not wait till the summer? Is that what you're saying?
It was good business sense for Liverpool.
I don't know what the price, like
the Telegraph,
for 190 million.
Yeah, but are they going to have the time? Are they
going to
have the time they need in 1 month to turn that money around?
So
they should have sold him 4 months ago.
Right.
And, well, they wanted him, but apparently Liverpool, as we were hearing earlier, balked.
The Telegraph reported that the reason that Barcelona jumped at this deal now was in case Coutinho goes off in the World Cup and drove his price up even farther. So I don't know how much farther the price could have gone. He's the second biggest transfer in the history of world football.
But let's remember it's January as well, so it is inflated prices.
Yeah, it's totally inflated. But if
they would have paid the same in August.
But if Brazil go off
in
the World Cup, which I think Brazil's going to be a heavy favorite come the summertime.
Heavy favorite.
Heavy. I'm emphasizing heavy
as
favorite.
As in not Germany, not Spain.
Brazil
is the team.
Brazil's the team. I think in the last World Cup,
they're a team as well. I just don't know.
World Cup, when Neymar went out with that back injury, I think if Neymar hadn't gone out with that back injury, we wouldn't be seeing videos of 7-1s. Yeah, 7-1s. Like
7-1. Jeez.
Crashing Pornhub's host site.
I'm going to have a few quid on Brazil in this World Cup. I value them big time.
Let's get back to Liverpool.
But one second. I just want to say, I think it's good business by Liverpool selling Coutinho at this price, £142 million, $190 million dollars. Yeah. And then they bought Virgil van Dijk
for $75 million.
You basically have another 70 to put into an attacking player.
Get a good goalkeeper.
They won't. That's not what they do. They have to turn a profit.
They just did exactly what we've all been saying that they don't do.
Standard. Chardin.
They don't. What did they
do with Suarez? What did they do with Suarez money?
They bought like six players and they all were horrible. just like Tottenham did when they sold Gareth Bale. You know, it was the same thing. You think that you can replace one elite player with five above average players. It doesn't work. Right. Not in this league.
Not in this world.
And I think Liverpool still have a good chance to win, or not win, but be in the top four. But it's certainly, if I'm a Liverpool fan right now, I'm not super pleased with the business that's being done, knowing that you're selling. I don't think he's your best player, but you know, one of your better players. I think Salah is your best player, and then
I would say this year Salah is their best player.
He's the best player in England right now.
Mm. I don't know about that.
I put my money
Hurricane.
On him. So who?
Hurricane.
Andy, who's in fifth right now?
And KDB, come on.
All right,
your
guys.
Boy.
Your boy.
Oh, listen to these guys. Just in case anybody doesn't know what we're talking about right now, you're tuned into Blokes in the Bench on 947-4342. Nearly forgot the number there. 284. Thank you, Alex. 9470. So we do have a poll running on our Twitter page, BOTB Soccer. Should Arsenal sell Ozil in January?
Sell him to you.
Get him out.
Sell him to you. I think it's actually kind of cute that your headphones match United colors. Probably planned that out, didn't you?
And you are super lumberjack today.
Yeah. Dude, I know. I've got the beard going.
Yeah, the lumberjack hat on.
Got the lumberjack hat.
Man, that's tough.
He's a lumberjack. And he's okay. All right. So, yeah. So, out in 83%, yes. So, they're probably all Arsenal fans. I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe they're United fans, right?
I don't know. I'm still kind of... I mean, here's the thing. I want to prove. I want a player that's not going to be up and down. United have way too many players that are inconsistent. Why bring another one in?
Who's to say he's going to United?
Right. I'm hoping.
There's been a lot of press about it. But I mean, that's also clickbait. You know, like a bunch of journalists in England are like, oh well. You know, he played under Mourinho at Madrid.
Ozil's not going anywhere. He'll get a crazy contract from Arsenal, and they're going to regret it in about 18 months.
There was an article on Facebook that said Manchester United to buy five key players.
Ugh. Wait.
Opened it up in the summer. Whoa! That's not anything new.
Mr. Spud fan, why do you say that? Do you say that they're going to give him a huge contract to please the fans, or what?
I think that
What's
Arsenal,
your reasoning?
I think Arsenal will give...
What's your reasoning, Alex?
My reasoning is, A, Arsenal cannot sell him because they will not get any dollar value back.
Well, we spent 43 for him.
Wenger has said he will not. C, I think that he is an important part of your club, and I think he actually wants to stay. I think
Wenger wouldn't sell Samir Nasri and wouldn't sell Robin Van Persie.
I know.
And wouldn't sell...
It was a joke. Okay. It was a joke.
All right.
It's not a funny joke for me.
Yeah, it hits...
It's really,
hits the core.
No, you know, the Nasri deal hurt me a lot more than the Fabregas deal. I always knew Cesc was going to go back to Barca. But
what we didn't know was Wenger was going to turn him down when he had the chance to get him back.
Let's talk about your
boys. I think that was probably a good move.
Sitting in fifth.
I don't know. I feel like that's always been... Oh, okay.
Tottenham.
Sorry,
Tottenham.
I thought Arsenal
Tottenham.
Were.
Spurs. Tottenham.
That was...
41 points.
No, they're just forever in our shadows.
Four back of Liverpool, ahead of Arsenal.
Where they're on the table. Mm-hmm. Where,
yeah, because that's all that Mark cares about is history, not present. I think, Tottenham are not necessarily where I wanted them to be at this point. I think the injury to Endervereld is a big
Ryan
reason
McElmore
of why we the Spurs, are where we are. I think also playing in Wembley has been a struggle because obviously it's not really our home field. We're making it our own. We played well there, sure.
Are you making it your own?
We played well there at the Champions League, but we've struggled to break down lesser competition in the Premier League because teams that park the bus, a la, you know, Mourinho.
Oh, yeah, they park it out at Wembley, you know, because you guys are playing out there. It's just the bus is out there.
It's not easy to get to Wembley. It is not easy.
I don't doubt that.
It's, yeah, anyway, so, but no, I mean, overall, Tottenham... Where would you say that we should be probably going in? Probably second, third is probably what people were expecting, maybe predicting.
Delusional.
Not
Tottenham
me.
Fans,
I had Spurs winning the league this year, and only up
yeah,
until
you did,
only up until November, early December was I finally like they're not winning the league. They're going to fight to finish in the top four.
Clearly, yeah. Clearly, and that's what I said going into the year is I would like to see us go deep in the Champions League and win a cup. You know, FA or
league,
we're out. We lost to West Ham.
No, I know.
And so, and then be in the top four for Champions League, for top four of Premier League to get in the Champions League next year. I think that the business that Liverpool did was actually smarter than people are giving them credit for, which is to sell offense for defense and have a little profit, sure, on the end. And I think that they will reinvest it in the summer.
Well, they're talking about getting Lamar from Monaco now.
My understanding is Lamar is not going anywhere this January window. Maybe he is, but that's what I've read.
Aren't Arsenal in for Thomas Lamar?
Of course they are.
Yep. Yeah. Aren't we in for every player and every news publication?
And how many of them do they get?
Well, but Arsenal signed Alexis Sanchez and Mesut Ozil, which 3 years ago, you know, if we can all go back and look at that, those were huge deals, and to give a lot of credit to Arsenal.
Well, there was actually a running joke for a while that Tottenham's transfer... like scouting was just a Google who Arsenal was going to try to buy.
but what happened with Ozil, though?
It's pretty funny.
Tottenham actually got screwed on the whole Ozil thing because they sold Bale to Real Madrid saying, okay, but we want Ozil back in exchange. They were like, we're not selling Ozil. And then they went and turned and sold him right after they got Bale to Arsenal. And so, you know, that was a slap in the face for Spurs support, you know, for anyone Spurs and Daniel Levy, because he obviously drives a hard bargain. You know, I think that's the reason the latest numbers are that, like, and obviously I don't actually believe that this is the case, but this is what you'll see on air, or not on air, but on the internet, £300 million for Kane to go to Real Madrid is the number that's out there right now.
That is an absurd number.
It's an absurd number. It is an absurd number, but
he's good, but to spend that kind of money, I don't. You know.
Well, who is that good for $300 million?
Nobody.
Right. There is.
But I mean, that's the world we live in.
No, there is somebody that good. It's Lionel Messi.
I thought you were going to say Pep Guardiola.
No, and he should be the standard until the day he finally takes a step back. You have to measure value on that. I would rather take $300 million and get Lionel Messi at 31 than Harry Kane at 26, 25.
No, like 3.
20, whatever he is.
Maybe
he's
24.
I like Messi, 24. But I'll take Kane all day.
Yeah, I mean, why would you pay crazy?
Because he's the best player on the planet and will be until I see otherwise.
He's got a good 5 years left.
For the record, Messi's latest contract, which I think is interesting, has a clause in it that says if Barcelona leaves La Liga because of the whole Catalonia succession thing, that he's actually out of contract and he's a free agent.
The only reason I would take Kane is he's a proven Premier League player, and I don't. And Messi isn't. So that's my
reason. That's a fair point.
But I mean, Messi's going nowhere.
Right.
But I don't think Kane is either.
I don't think Kane is either.
Right.
Yeah.
He's one of our own. He's one of our own. Oh. Harry Kane, he's one of our own.
You may actually spend money to finally keep a player and not be a selling club as you've been in the past. And that's the graduation that Liverpool need to have. That
until they build their new stadium.
Well, until they prove that they can do it, I don't believe they can do it.
Well, I think that what's going to happen is that Spurs will have a new owner with huge, deep pockets.
Yeah, you need some Middle East money or, you know, Russian oligarch to buy Spurs.
I would love for some, you know, Bezos.
Donald Trump.
Mr. President Trump. President Trump, buy Spurs.
I'm going to come buy the greatest club in the world.
I'll have yet another reason to hate you guys. Yeah.
The other guy that Mark Zuckerberg supposedly was snooping around a few months ago. Those are the kind of people I would love to see, like an
the
American
Facebook club.
Hey, you know, if it means
Whoever pays, if they're going
to pump money into the team, then I'm happy. Except your name is Donald Trump.
Spurs have to be the biggest worm on the hook in the world right now because London side, new stadium, Harry Kane, young talent, affordable talent right now. Anybody with those pockets have to be looking at Spurs.
I can't wait until next season. Prawn Sandwich Brigade moving into your new stadium. All right, guys, the time is 20 to 7. We'll be right back. All right, guys, we're back. And we are joined in the studio, by the way, by David Deaton from Aromas Cafe. We might as well just actually do it now. I mean, fire away. Forget about Arsenal. Just, you know.
Forget about Arsenal. Get the important information out. Yeah, thank you, guys. I mean, first of all, thank you guys for everything that you do. I mean, you guys are trying to contribute to the community, trying to raise the soccer IQ and do all that. And I think in many ways we're doing the same thing. So I first and foremost, say thanks to you guys. But my question, who here is the Liverpool supporter in the show?
No,
I was talking to some guys.
Not allowed.
They love you guys. They want to see more Liverpool.
We've been reaching out to Liverpool supporters to get them on, but everyone seems to be working.
Like, and give us one of them.
And
Greg, Mohan, like, you're all out there. Come on.
I know. Yeah,
absolutely. And they're good people to us. They've shown us a tremendous amount of support, just like you guys have. And I think that it'd be good to get some Liverpool banter going on, because they're pretty exciting right now.
If there is a Liverpool fan out there that wants to get on here, please do contact me.
And they're always very
blokes on the bench. Hit me up on BOTB Soccer.
Yeah,
see a couple games with them at the row, and they're all good guys.
It's like Liverpool's year. Every year is Liverpool's year.
I will say this though about Liverpool is that they have the best set of local supporters. If you go to Random Row, I know I'm not supposed to say places' names, but Random Row, during a game, you will
still be...
It's a sea of red. It's amazing.
Yeah. And they have
I will go in and trust them.
They've shown us a lot of support, and we're excited to have their support. They're rabid fans, like you guys are rabid fans, and that means a lot. I mean, we just this week launched that we'd be in the NPSL. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Big announcement.
It's Seville Alliance, right?
A lot of credit to Hassan. I think I mentioned this last time I was here. He really wants to make sure that it's a team name that he's still back it. He's still with us. He's still involved highly. But, you know, we want to make sure that it's a name that the community can get around.
Right.
And so that's part of it.
Are you worried about the First Order or the Empire coming after you?
Well, you know, that's, you know, the rebels, we're always, that's, that actually fits in with our, a little bit of our personality a little bit. We're gritty, we're tough. We got no problem with that. And we'll take those guys on.
All right. Star Wars geeks unite, man.
Exactly.
You got somebody to root for.
So who is the First Order?
Have you not watched Star Wars, the Force Awakens and The Last Jedi?
No, I have, but I'm saying, who is the analogy?
Well,
Who is it that the
visiting team? Yeah, we might have to put the visiting jersey on, like a Darth Vader outfit at halftime.
Well, it's a funny story. Like, you know, I went to school for journalism, and a couple years ago, Ole Miss University was looking for a new mascot because they didn't want to be the Rebels anymore, and it was some character from Star Wars, like. I'll look it up. It was like
Jar Jar Binks.
No. It was like one of the fringe characters. But
Jar Jar Binks.
Jar Jar Binks.
All right, I'll look it up. I can find it.
Orlando Celtics.
Let's get back to the Charlottesville Lions FC. Like, so when does it start? When can people get buy kits? When is all that sort of stuff out? You know,
honestly, very soon. So okay. We are right in the midst of we've got some preliminary mock-ups, which you guys have seen the confidential design. Some of you guys have seen the confidential.
We won't release them. We've been held to ransom.
Darth Vader's going to come after us.
We're actually going to only have a limited number that are produced right off the bat for supporters, because we're a nonprofit. I mean, everybody, myself and everybody involved, is doing it on a volunteer basis, but we got to make ends meet to make the team work. So I think in January and February, you're going to start to see some supporting merchandise come out just for supporters before we get the regular merchandise going, including tops, shirts and hats and beanies.
Scarves.
Well, scarves is the first thing that's going to come out.
Scarves.
Without doubt.
Yeah.
Limited edition. We'll never make it again. We've already told the designer, burn the design once it's printed. It's done.
Can I ask a question? And if it's not in the works yet, I have no idea. Have you got a stadium or a ground to play on yet?
So we have confirmed that Charlottesville High School will be our stadium. So
it's a pretty good sized stadium, actually.
It's probably the best in the area, without doubt. And so we locked that up.
Take that, Scott Stadium.
Yeah.
Klockner, I don't think so.
Yeah, well, if we could get access to those, that'd be great. Outside of that, the best stadium in the area is Charlottesville. It's one of the wider ones.
The semi-professional baseball team plays at CHS, the ball field there. So,
but I'll tell you what, we're already trying to talk with the county and the city. We'd really like to get more infrastructure in the area. Something we're very big on: publicly available infrastructure for the community available. We'd like to do that. I've got a meeting this week, actually. We're going to do some artistic rendering about what a vision of what a soccer park or a multi-sport park could be, and property they could be on, and we're excited about that.
Just don't mention anything about cheerleaders to Mark.
He'll just talk about Crystal Palace the rest of the time.
No. I like Palace too. I like all the bad teams right now.
So any concerns about playing on, it's an artificial field there. It's not grass.
Yeah. You know, we've talked with a couple of universities. They also recognize that CHS is the best pitch in town. They've not expressed concerns right off the bat. A couple of the universities down, like at Lynchburg College, they actually play on turf as well.
Well,
so
this isn't, is it a carpet or is it sport turf?
It's sport turf.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. We love it.
Until someone punts it, and then the bounce is like 50% bigger than you expect. I mean, I've played on that field before. And in a lot of the fields around here. And those sport turfs, it may work for football, like American football, but when you're playing soccer, it changes the game a little.
Listen, I agree with you. As soon as we can, we'd love to work with the city and county to get a proper, you know, multi-sport that features soccer available. And there should be grass pitches. There should be turf pitches as well, because it's all weather. But there should be grass as well. I totally agree with you.
Yeah, I know that you do a lot of community outreach and have worked in the community. And I feel like authenticity is going to be your biggest hurdle to jump, and I think you're on the right track with that. But what plans do you have to work with the community to get kids in the seats? Because it's not me, the old guy.
Yeah,
you know, it's going to be those kids who are in grade school and in middle school and high school who are going to grow up with this club and get out there. So what plans do you guys have? And yeah, I know it's early days, but do you have anything in place to reach out to the community like that?
Well, we do. I think that people don't always recognize how much we're doing. And so, I think we want to leverage the relationships that we've got to bring those kids that we've already been working with to the games. We want to create a welcomed space, and that's one of the places that people on our management team referred to is, how do we create a welcome space? And we've heard from people that we partner with, and they've said, you know, people come here and they may feel like they got here and they're disconnected with the rest of the community. So how do we create a space where they can come and feel welcomed? And that's what we want to aspire to. So everywhere from there's multiple groups involved with the Refugees Committee and the refugee population, we do a lot of work in Southwood. We do a lot of work in Friendship Court already. We go to the Youth Detention Center on a monthly basis. So we are desperately going to be making sure that those individuals feel that this is a welcome space for them. In addition to all of us that are involved, our coaches. So we're going to have our youth teams out there as well, and develop a strong partnership. So the mix between all those kids and all of the fans like you guys, that's I think going to make it special.
Quick question.
Yeah.
Where can fans go? Where are social media? Facebook, yep. Where are you? What's your address?
Yep, absolutely. We got it all. So for our website, it's SevilleAllianceFC.org. That's the website. And then Instagram and Facebook are SevilleAllianceFC is the handle. Okay. And then Twitter is just Seville_Alliance. It's actually too many characters to do SevilleAllianceFC. Huh.
No, you did. There was a postponement of the Triads, right? Because of obviously the weather, I'm guessing. But that will be, people should be looking out for that at some point in the
Triads
spring.
Triads are going to be in the spring. We're going to do Triads when it's warm.
Right. And he's going to be the first one in line for
Oh, yeah, I'm going for striker.
We're all going out
watch
for it.
Podge up the field, breathless. Yeah.
There will definitely be tryouts. We are waiting until it gets a little bit warmer. We're also making sure that all of our engagements are in place. We don't want to be disingenuous with the tryouts and make it. You know, we want to be always above board and transparent in everything that we do. So we want to make sure our university relationships, our other player relationships, and everything else is in place as well.
Soka is the big football community that that is here. What, are you partnering with them in any way? Obviously. What Aromas was part of Soka.
And we'll continue to be. So we're still going to have our adult league team. I joke with those guys. First of all, we know all of them. We're friends with all of them. I joke with them. I've told them, I said, everything but the paycheck I get from Soka. So, you know, I've got three kids that play. I coach two youth teams. I play on two adult teams, and I captain an adult team that does not only regular season but also Open Cup. So
stop bragging, man. Yeah, wow.
I'm just saying, like, we couldn't.
That's it?
That's it. And everybody, and, you know, there's also Mon U in town as well. And we've got people on our team that are highly involved with Mon U. And they're a great organization that their kids excel. Even though their program isn't as big, the caliber of what they're doing is actually quite excellent. So that should not be overlooked by any small measure. So we've reached out to them multiple times. We want to collaborate. We want it to work. Does that mean we should have games be on the same day or different, you know, so that there's a doubleheader? Should they be on alternating weekends so that, you know, people can always have a home game? We would love to work with them in any way possible. And that's just I think that's part of what when we say united by soccer, we not only recognize that that means something on the pitch with the camaraderie, but it also means with how you interact with the community. And so there isn't an organization out there that we don't want to positively work with. Our doors are open, email, phone, whatever, just get a hold of us.
So to go back to something you spoke about the last time you were on the show, where does NPSL stand in the pyramid? There is no pyramid, but in the structure of American football?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's a tricky question because of what you just mentioned about there not being a well-defined pyramid, but I think it's fair to say there's Division One MLS, there's Division Two, which starts to look like maybe like PDL USL. There really is not a Division Three, and then I think you've got NPSL, which is probably the closest of being kind of like, it's definitely Division Four, if you will. If it's definitely that in that fourth tier, it probably is the closest of getting right up in there to be a contender of what could be that third division. But I don't think any of that's been shaped out.
So your players are not professional players. They're strictly amateurs.
100% amateurs.
And I can bring my promotion relegation sign to every match, right?
You can. Great. We strongly support promotion relegation, and you know, I think that we're at the top. We're at the NPSL. The reason that we went to NPSL is for two reasons. One, they're at the top of the amateur game. There's no doubt about that. They've got the best brand equity, the best engagement with universities, and the best caliber of competition that's out there. The second is that they really want teams that bring personality. And so we are all about community outreach, and we did not want to be part of a franchise or any other organization that would not allow us to express the craziness and the community orientation that we've got. Our players are fun, they're funny, but they get out there and really want to be involved. And we wanted to be involved with a league that would allow us to maintain that.
And are you one of the best Twitter presence I've seen so far is from Alexandria FC. Mm-hmm. Are you actively working in that league? Is that the same thing? I hate to admit not really understanding NPSL.
Yeah, how many teams are there in your actual conference?
NPSL has 100 teams nationally, which is the national strength of it, and their touch point everywhere is one of those big kudos to them. But there are seven teams actually now in our area, and they're in like Williamsburg, Virginia Beach, Baltimore. There's one up in Leesburg, Loudoun County now. There is one up in Frederick, Maryland, and Fredericksburg.
So not Alexandria, then.
Well, so I think in Alexandria, is that Motorik?
Yeah.
They are. We actually have an active email correspondence with them. Great people.
They're awesome.
They are. I'd love to give them as much credit as because they deserve it.
Yeah.
They've kind of want to take humble steps. They say, we want to get ourselves established in a non-league. We want to get ourselves into an adult league. And so, you know, building a strong foundation. I mean, we've been at this since 2015. Mm-hmm. So for them to say we want to build a strong foundation, I get that, because we've been at it for years now. Mm-hmm. And this is a big accomplishment for us to go from 2-3 years ago to build that up. And I've got people in Richmond and Lynchburg all over asking me, you know, what should be the right first step? And we giving them the stuff that we've done. So they're not in our league, but we'd love to do a friendly with them. They've asked us, and we'll do it.
Great.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for coming in, and look forward. So when would your season start?
It's going to start the beginning of May. Our first home game should be May 26th.
Okay, and the season runs?
It'll run, well, because we're going to get into the conference playoffs. All the way into late July.
Okay. All right, awesome. All right, well, we don't even have time really to talk about.
So what is the league? Do you do a home and away? Like, how does it work? Because you're only playing the local teams out of that 100 that you spoke of.
That's right.
The teams you just mentioned that were local, you play them home and away, and then
that's right. So there'll be home and away, and they've done it a little bit different every year, but it should be the top three teams will go into a conference playoff, and then it will go into like a regional playoff, and then you go into the finals.
Okay.
That's great.
Yeah.
Cool.
Wait, main question, the question I have for you guys as fans, if I have time, the only question I have, or the main question I have is, what should we not do to screw it up? Like, we want to do right by you guys. We want to do right by the fans. We want to do right by the people that are going to bring the scarves and buy it and stand there and watch. And we want to know, hey, guys, you know, do this and don't do that. Like, we want
to
hear it.
Don't set the ticket prices to be like the Premier League.
Okay.
You need, and this is why I asked you, community is going to be the number one thing. You don't
Got
want
it.
Plastic. You want authentic. And this community in Charlottesville, we're all members of this community. We know there's a lot of division here right now, and we need something to heal. And frankly, I think the beautiful game is something that could heal this community very fast.
Yeah, we 100% agree.
All right. Well,
Cool.
Thank you very much for coming in. Look forward to the start of the season. And Mark, unfortunately, we don't have any time to talk about your boys.
Hey, I'm totally fine with that today. Yeah.
We should at least mention what happened
the
4-2.
Today.
He's trying to get away with not hearing about it.
Nottingham Forest, headphones off, not happy.
I think for once, Piers Morgan has kind of hit it on the head.
What did he say?
It's, you know, first time Wenger's crashed out of the cup at this stage in his reign, and it's the first time we've been like 24 points off the lead.
And first time not in Champions League. He
first time not in Champions League.
At this point in the season.
Oh, yeah, of course the Tottenham fan knows exactly the tweet.
I actually didn't see the tweet until it was sent around to
me. I'm the one that sent the tweet out.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, Christian.
No problem. Wenger in.
This is just like my favorite website as a Virginia Tech fan from back in the day. Don'tfirealgrio.com. Don'tfirewenger.com. We're getting that website up and running, boys.
Yeah, you and Christian can pay.
There
for
will
it.
Be no Wenger out signs at the First Alliance match, I can tell you that.
All right, that's about it.
Happy New Year, guys.
Yeah, that's about it for this week. Don't forget our poll, which is actually still running. 80% say yes to selling Ozil in January.
I was one of the ones that said no.
He's always admitting to in voting, isn't he?
Well, I was voting, and when you guys were all talking, I was on there. You know,
there are breaks during the show. Come on.
Are we off?
No. All right, guys. So we'll be back. When the games start next week, so we will be back next weekend. Have a great week, guys. If I can get it to work.
I think it's awesome what you guys are doing. Thanks.
You've been listening to Blokes on the Bench with your host, Andy Richardson, on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. Join us again next Sunday at 6 for another edition and feed us back at facebook.com/blokesonthebench.